2:14. You're off to a pretty good start this morning. Everybody doing a good job. In my heart there rings a melody. A song in our heart this morning.
The ushers to come at this time.
You know, you should have kept your finger in that page, don't you? We had 2:14. 2:13, He Keeps Me Singing. Trust that's your experience. There's a sin and strife, discord filled my heart with pain. Jesus swept across the broken strings, stirred the slumbering chords again. Third verse.
Feasting on the riches of His grace, resting in the sheltering wind, always looking on His smiling face, that is why Jesus, Jesus, Jesus,
station number 54. Number 252.
Thank you.
that one 6 months ago.
I enjoy singing that song, even though I need a stepladder to hit that high note. There's just some notes I don't sing. I let everybody else sing and enjoy your beautiful singing. Well, we are privileged to have the women have a part in the service this morning, and they do a skit almost every year, and I really enjoy the skits that they put on. They're challenging, and they're also a great blessing to us. So I'm going to turn the service over to Jill at this time.
No, baffle me. I'm not going to say a whole lot. I just want to know that the name of our play is By This All We'll Know, and the ladies have worked hard, and we're just amateurs, and come on, ladies, just sit up.
Welcome to the best church in the whole world. Really? Oh, it's always been a good church with a great pastor and a wonderful staff, but there have been some major changes around here. There's been a renovation. Not the church building, the church. You see, the church is much more than bricks and mortar, padded pews, and stained glass windows. It's ordinary people like you and me, growing and working together, trying to strengthen one another. And this may not sound like a new revelation, but let me show you what happened when principles became practice in the ladies of our church. It all happened one night in our ladies' Bible study. We are studying Ephesians 2.
Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the house of God, and are built upon the foundation of the prophets and apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitteth formed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of Christ through the Spirit. No matter what our background, who we are, what we have been or done, Jesus brings us together as one family. We are sisters in the Lord. God knew we needed each other, and he consecrated our relationship with his presence. Isn't that incredible? We are temples, dwelling places of God's Holy Spirit. What an awesome privilege and responsibility.
What is all that commotion? It's probably all those teenagers that have been hanging around the church. Someone really should do something about them. It sounds like Karen. That explains it. Oh, she got with her now. Heaven help us.
I'm not leaving. My car broke down on the way to the church here, and I was so afraid walking in a strange neighborhood all by myself. But God, he's so good. He sent Tony and Chelsea to help me. Do you know that Tony has lived in that neighborhood all her life and never been to this church? What a divine coincidence. Oh, you guys were just waiting for a ride, right? Your ride won't be too upset? No, it's all right.
Well, welcome to Tony and Chelsea. Please have a seat. We're glad you came.
Chelsea is from Baltimore. Isn't that where you're from, Mary?
Right, yeah.
You two probably have so much in common. Thank you guys for introducing yourself right away. Being so friendly.
Good idea, Karen. Then we'll continue with our Bible study. I'm Beverly. Girls, we want you to feel right at home. We're studying the book of Ephesians.
What's Ephesians?
Ephesians is a letter written by the Apostle Paul almost 2,000 years ago to the new Christians in the city of Ephesus. But it's also written for us here today at Calvary Assembly of God. I'll recap what we've read in chapter 2.
So began the new adventure. This was no longer a Bible study for long-term believers, but rather, it was an introduction to the marvelous plan of salvation for two young ladies who had never before heard the gospel, the good news, and they were living right down the street from the church. Can you imagine that? Sometimes it's good for us to go back to the beginning, to remind ourselves that the wonderful grace of God has brought us through no merit of our own into His wonderful.
Something has to be done about Karen. She attracts all the weirdos in town, just like a magnet. Someone should talk to her. She can't just keep bringing people in off the streets. And the way they were dressed. You know what they are. It's embarrassing. Why did Beverly roll out the red carpet for them when she should have been throwing them out? Church is no place for people like that.
Oh, Edna, you don't mean that. Let's have a little compassion. They're just girls. No one grows up with that kind of lifestyle as a goal. They've made bad choices, but who knows what they've endured.
Then let them join a support group.
Sorry. Aren't we supposed to be the support group?
Yeah, for each other.
God loves these girls, Betty. They need Jesus, and we can help them find him. If Christ can't help them, who can?
Don't you care what kind of riffraff comes into our church? Don't you care about the influence on our children?
Of course I care. Don't we want to teach our children compassion? Don't we want them to see the miraculous transforming power of God's love?
Some of the teenagers Karen's been bringing to church lately have scared me.
They're probably scared of you too.
What do you mean by that?
They've lived in a cold, hostile world. The church should be the one place they find acceptance and love, just as we did once. We were all sinners who needed a Savior. Let's not argue, you guys. We're friends, right? More than friends, we're family. Would any of you care for some more coffee? Thanks.
Well, I think Karen is out of control, Rose. Could you talk to her? She'd listen to you.
I can talk to her, but what do you want me to say to her? Shall I tell her not to go out into the highways and the byways and to seek the lost? That's the commission that Christ has given each one of us.
Well, no, but why does she have to bring him to our church?
Because we are the church. At our Bible study, we talked about being the temples of the living God. His Spirit lives in us.
But what does that have to do with anything?
Everything. Karen wants to introduce lost, hurting people to those who know Jesus. Together, we should have answers. We should be able to put our arms around anyone she brings and lead them to God who loves them.
Phyllis is right. We should join with her in bringing others to Christ. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And if we really love the Lord, his will is our will. We all need to do some soul searching. The world can be a frightening place. Satan is waging an all-out war, but God's power has not diminished. And the Bible assures us, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We need to join together and pray and reach out to our dying world. Who would we be if somebody like Karen hadn't cared about our souls?
A good question. Where would any of us be if someone had not taken the time to care for our souls? Think back. Do you remember the first time someone introduced you to Jesus? Do you remember the time you first heard that God loved you unconditionally? Do you remember the people who taught you and helped you grow in your newfound faith? No one person did it alone. It was the church who together made an eternal difference in your life. God is calling on all of us to join forces and join together and be a teacher, an example, and a friend to all those in need and just help strengthen them in the faith. Well, telephone lines were busy that week, and conversations much like the one we heard were going on all throughout Calvary Assembly. For the first time in a long time, women were pondering and praying over what it means to be the church.
Hi, Chelsea. Good to see you again. Come on in and join us.
Hi, Chelsea. Would you like to sit here?
Thanks.
Where's Tony? I'm glad you're here. We didn't get a chance to talk last week. Karen said you're from Baltimore. So am I. What school did you go to?
East High.
So did I. I wonder if we had any of the same teachers. When did you graduate?
Well, I kind of dropped out after my mom.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Thanks. It's okay.
Do you have any family here?
No, I've been on my own for a while. My friend and I moved here about 6 months ago. Things didn't work out for her, so she went back, but I didn't have anywhere to go back to.
Where do you live, Chelsea? It's not okay. I'm sure your mother would have wanted better for you.
I know. But what else can I do?
Chelsea, you can live with my family for a while. We have a spare bedroom we hardly use. We could help you find a job and get a chance at a fresh start.
I can't do that. You don't even know me.
Why not? It's what Jesus would have done. He loves you, Chelsea, and I believe he has brought us together. We all need help sometimes.
And you need your high school diploma. I can help you with that if you want me. Well, why would you be bothered with my problem?
Because, honey, we all have problems of one kind or another. We need each other. Together with Jesus, we can make it.
Together. That's the key. Our church was coming alive, and this was just the beginning.
I'm not late again, am I? I brought somebody I'd like you to meet.
Hi.
Thank God for the church. Fellow believers who never take for granted the unmerited grace of God, who join hands, giving strength and encouragement to one another, sharing their goals, their gifts, their joys, and even their sorrows, so the body of Christ will be strong and able to fulfill her mission. Together, touching a lost and hurting world.
Time.
Well, the kids have done so well. I wonder if you could sit for just another 10 minutes. The kids could do that. I just have a real short devotional today, a short message. But it's something that the Lord put on my heart. Usually, I try to preach on the theme that the women have following their skit. But the Lord directed me to something else today. And I'd like to share it with you from Psalm 23. So if you would turn there, please. Psalm 23, I think what we'll do is we will read the whole psalm together. There's a number of people that are experiencing great trials. And so I want to draw your attention to this psalm. And I've called the title of the message today, When the Heat is On. when the heat is on. Psalm 23, let's read it together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm going to pick out just a phrase there. The Lord is my shepherd. He leadeth me beside the still waters. I want to draw your attention to those words this morning. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Let's pray. Father, we ask your blessing upon your word today. I pray that it would be just a balm that would heal those that are struggling and those that are going through pressures and trials of life when the heat is on. And so I just pray that you would help this word to find root in them, and it would be an encouragement and a blessing, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, one of the most famous passages in all the Bible is the 23rd Psalm. We know the Psalm. It has such beautiful language. And I don't know anybody that doesn't like the 23rd Psalm. But again, I want to notice just one part of that Psalm. He leads me beside still waters. There's a lot to be said for still waters. They are restful. They calm our souls and our minds. Still waters are peaceful. I like to go and just look at waters where there's no really wind or waves that day, but just look at the calm, still waters where you can actually see the reflection from the trees in the water. If we have the still waters, the peace of God in our lives, then we can handle things when life gets busy and trials become strong. In other words, if we are led beside still waters during other times in our life, when the trials and when the tribulations come, when the heat is on, we will be able to carry on. Today I have with me a balloon. Now I'm going to attempt to just try to blow up this balloon, attempt, and tie it off. You all knew I had a lot of hot air anyway. The hard part for me is getting them tied. So we'll endeavor to tie this balloon. Okay, we got this balloon tied off today. Now this balloon is only full of air. No waters. It's not a water balloon, it's just an air balloon. Let's see what happens to this balloon when the heat is on. When trials come our way, let's see what happens to the balloon. Whoa. That didn't take very long either, did it? That balloon had those trials and that balloon just blew up. You know why that balloon blew up? Because it was filled with only air. It was not filled with water. Now, I will take a balloon that's filled with still waters. And let's see how this balloon handles it when the heat is on. They are the same balloon. They were even the same color, if that makes any difference. The reason I'm lighting the candle instead of the match is because I'm going to hold this balloon over the heat longer than I could have if I was just using a match. When I practiced this at home, my wife had a mop ready. She didn't believe me it was going to work. How many are you convinced that this balloon is not going to break when the heat's on? Are you convinced? Or do I have to keep going? Time's clicking away. Trust me, this balloon will not break when the heat is on. And can you tell me why? because of the water, because it's filled with still water. In your life, if you're just full of air, if you're trying to do things yourself when the heat is on, you will break. But if you are filled with living water, when the heat is on, you'll be able to stand. You'll be able to hold up. You won't burst. You won't break. You won't pop under pressure. Revelation chapter 7 and verse 17 says, "For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them." And here's the part I want you to get. "And he shall lead them unto living fountains of waters." It says the Lord would lead them, similar to Psalm 23. The Lord would lead them not only to beside still waters here, but he said he will lead them unto fountains of living waters. So the quiet waters are living fountains of waters. To me, this made it quite obvious of what Jesus was referring to. And we find it in John chapter 4, verses 10 and 14. When Jesus came upon a woman at the well, the woman of Samaria, Jesus said to her, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life." The influence of the still waters is inward. It's an inward influence. There can be storms all around us. There can be storms all around you. There can be rugged waters. But you know it's true. Inwardly, you can still have peace. Isn't that right? There can be storms all around you, but inwardly, there can still be peace. How can that happen? It happens because it springs from a relationship with Jesus Christ. The water is inward. It says in verse 14, in him, in Jesus Christ, there is peace. Jesus said, "You will have tribulation in this world, but in me," he said, "you will have peace. And be of good cheer, because I've overcome the world." This water is also abundant. It says that this water shall be a well of water springing up into everlasting life. This fountain would become a well of water, an inexhaustible supply, a well that will never, ever, ever run dry. Water also acts as a fertilizer. You will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, as Psalm 1 states. You will grow. You will produce fruit. You will be like a palm tree. You know, when the storms come, the palm tree will bend, but it will not break. It's able to be resilient because it has its roots deep into the ground, fertilized by the water that it has been planted near. When the heat of the storm is on, you won't break. It might feel like it sometimes, but you won't break because you have been led beside still waters. 36-year-old Terry Murden, a Kentucky attorney, revealed a fresh face to bravery recently. She rode a 23-foot boat across the Atlantic alone. She braved hurricanes and bouts of despair to become the very first woman to row across the ocean. It took her 81 days, 7 hours, and 31 minutes. As she was assisted from her tiny craft, she grinned and said, "Next time, I'm taking the Concord." During her crossing, she was hit by Hurricane Lenny, a late-season storm. It packed dangerous winds of more than 150 miles per hour. Lenny's center passed within 5 hours of Murden, whipping up 20-foot waves that upended her boat and threw her into the sea. She had a satellite phone with her, and she called friends to say, "If the worst hasn't passed, I'm out of here." The worst day in the storm, Lenny actually backed her up 10 miles. But when the storm left, whale and dolphin sightings, calm mornings, and signs of land, birds and bugs, she said, renewed her courage and determination. You see, it was the still waters that renewed her courage and her determination. She was able to make it because she was able to see the still waters, and the still waters gave her that extra or whatever it was needed to get her through the difficult times. You know, I wonder if there is anything that a person cannot do with the Lord's help if she or he or she wants to do it badly enough. If they want it so bad that it dwarfs any reason or any other deterrent, I think they can do it. In our Christian walk, God calls us to cross a lot of seas and a lot of storms. And you know what? He causes us to cross those seas and those storms sometimes alone. And we might feel like this gal out in a boat all by herself. The hurricanes are whipping around us. The waves are threatening to rock us and to throw us out of the boat. Many people shrink back from the challenge. But I want you to know today that you can make it. You can make it. If you have the living waters of Jesus Christ, the fountains of living water that will well up into you into a spring, a well of everlasting life, you can make it. Jeremiah gives us a warning, though, in chapter 2 and verse 13. He says, "For my people have committed two evils. Number one, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. And number two, they have hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." You see, some people hold no water. And then when the heat comes, they break. They're only filled with the air of themselves. And in and of ourselves, we cannot handle the storms of life. We cannot handle the winds of adversity. We cannot handle it when the heat is on. But if we are led by the still waters, and we have the fountain of living water within us, we can make it. We can make it. I want to challenge every single one of us today to renew our faith and look unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Let's keep going in the face of all defeat and adversity. We can, you know. We can. Even as the Apostle Paul says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Not through ourselves. We'll be like the broken cistern if we try it ourselves. There'll be holes all over the place. But through the fountain of living waters, we can do it. We can make it. Could I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning? I told you I was just going to keep you a few moments. And I know a number of you that are experiencing trials and tribulation. I know that the heat is on in a lot of your lives, and there are people here today, they're not here because the heat is on. We'll make sure that they get a tape and pray that God will lead them beside still waters and they will recognize the fountain that is already there, the presence of Jesus Christ. What I want you to do today is just buddy up with Jesus. Just buddy up with Him. He's the fountain of living waters. He's the one that leads beside still waters. Oh, yes, there will be storms, but still waters are coming. A new day will dawn. A new day will break forth. And even if they don't, you have the companionship of Him who offers you everlasting life. How many of you, just in case there's others that I'm not aware of this morning, I just want to pray for you. How many of you say, "Pastor, the heat is on in my life. Would you pray for me?" Just raise your hand up and then down. The heat's on. Amen. Lots of hands all over the place. Before we pray, I want us to take our songbooks and turn to page number 344. 344, there is a fountain. Maybe you don't need it. It's just the chorus. There's a fountain. Let's stand as we sing it. And I'll tell you what. If you want to come up front this morning and have the love of God's people, that's what we've been preaching about all day today in Sunday school and in the women and their play today. If you want to have the love of God's people surround you, they're not going to be asking questions. They just want to love you today. And maybe you need that strength that they can give. Maybe you need to experience the love that they feel. I want you to step out as we sing the chorus. And then don't wait. Just step out. And those of you that would like to come and just hug these people that come forward, I want you to do that today. Would you do that today? Minister today to them. We all have our times when we need to be ministered to. We all have those times. And how great it is for people to step in and are willing to get involved in our lives. So if you have a need, the heat is on in your life, and you'd like to just feel that special affection from God's people today, come forward as we sing. And if you don't want to, I understand. But if you want to, we want to make that available to you today. There is a fountain. We pray for those today. The heat is on in their life. We pray, Lord, that you would minister unto them today. Lord, we pray that you would bring them through the trials and the tribulations. Lord, I pray for the Severson family today and their situation. Just be with them. I pray for Mary and her situation and the Stones and their situations. And Lord, the Lewises had a difficult week. Lord, there are many people, and we might even be forgetting some. But Lord, you have not forgotten them. And I pray that you would overshadow them with your love and your care. Because truly, no one ever cares for me like Jesus does. May everyone experience that love and care today, especially those who need it so desperately. Lead them beside still waters. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed. God bless you.